come before you this morning, Lord Jesus, to open our hearts to receive from you. We ask you, Father, to give us focus and direction. Keep our minds clear, our hearts open to receive from you. Father, we ask you to allow us to decrease that you might increase. Father, we ask that it be your words and not merely the words of men.
Yes, Lord.
In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to talk about the cross. By the way, the cross is the most relevant point in human history.
That's right.
See, there's a world that we live in right now that is working to avoid the cross. There are churches that don't have crosses. You know, when I was in real estate, I had listed the old Victory Church building, which is up at 92nd and Yates. And we had a string of pastors come in there, and I can't tell you how many of them wanted to take the cross off of the top. And I finally got so frustrated. Of course, I was trying to sell the building for the owners, and so I was trying to be respectful. But this one very prominent pastor comes, and he's like, "Well, yeah, we would just have to take that down." And I said, "Okay, wait a minute. I can't take this anymore. What is wrong with you? Why would you take a cross off of a church?" I said, "That's the most relevant point in human history. And the reason that it was up was so that people who came into a town, the reason the churches have steeples like that is so that when people came in, they would find the point of the cross." He said, "Where I be lifted up, all men will come unto me." And so the church was the middle point of every community. And I said, "So what's wrong with that?" And this pastor looks at me and goes, "Okay, we'll go in and look inside." I was like, "Okay, whatever. I guess I got mine." But we're going to talk about the cross. And I'm pretty passionate about the cross because it is the most relevant point in human history. It is what turned everything to our favor. You see, prior to that, we were functioning, trying to uphold laws that we could never manage. And God extended his grace, but when the cross came, when Christ came and gave his life up on the cross, what it did was it solidified our ability to be forgiven. I mean, that in and of itself is an amazing thing. So here's what we're called to. This is exactly the same in there's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's in all the Gospels, and in New King James and in NIV. I want you to just listen to this. "Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it.'" Okay? So he says, take up your cross, right? What's the statement before take up your cross? What? Oh. Wait a minute. We don't like that, right? To deny yourself? Deny yourself. What does that mean? That's a point of self-control. That's a point of managing yourself, of putting someone above you. Deny himself. He must, what does it say? Must deny himself? See, this is, you have to look at those words that are definers. He doesn't say he probably could deny himself. He maybe should. Must. Must. It's one of those. It's like the word shall. Must and shall. Those are committed words. It That's is right. So. You must do this. In the book of John, in John 13:34 and 35, he said, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
It's interesting when you look at this scripture, whether it's in Mark 16, 23 through 24, Mark 8, 34 through 35, in case you want to look them all up, Luke 9, 23 through 24. He drew the crowds to him. He said, he called the crowds to me along with my disciples. You will notice there's a distinction there between the crowds that followed him and those that wanted to be disciples. There was a distinction made. And he said, to be my disciple, you must take up your cross daily and follow after me. And then he said in John, to be known as my disciple, to be known as my disciple, you must do it with the love that I did it for those that I carried the cross for. He wasn't carrying the cross for himself. He was carrying the cross for the world that he loved. And he said, so if you want to be my disciple, you got to take up your cross every day and follow after me. And if you want to be known, not just as a crowd follower, but you want to be known as one of my disciples, then you need to do it with the kind of love that I did. A disciple is merely a person who is a pupil or an adherent of the doctrines, I don't know if I said that right, adherent of the doctrines of another, a follower. Again, he said, if you want to be my disciple, not just a follower in the crowd, then you need to take up your cross and follow after me. Not just watch and judge me, which are the spectators. There's a whole group of people that like to spectate Christianity. They like to spectate Jesus. I just kind of want to watch, and I just kind of want to judge what I see happening. I don't really want to take up my cross every day and follow in the way and follow after Christ. But he said, if you want to be my disciple, then pick up your cross daily and follow in my footsteps and do it with the love that I did for the world that I loved.
And how you have that love like he did is deny yourself. You must deny yourself first. You must. See, look. Like she's saying, pick up your cross daily. Let me see. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. Not weekly. Not, well, I went to church last week. That's all I needed, right? Yeah, I've been to church, right? Seen out of Evan Almighty? Yes, absolutely. I go to church. Do you go to church? Well, I... I've been to church, which, look, that truth of let's pick up your cross daily, which means not weekly, just when I go to church, not monthly or yearly, like Christmas and Easter, or just when I feel it's appropriate, you know, I mean, it's my Aunt Martha's baby dedication, and so I have to go to church. And not based on circumstance. I cannot tell you how many people find their way to a church when they are in trouble. Wow, I haven't seen you in, ever. What's going on? Will you pray? I'm going to go to jail unless somebody prays. Will you pray? Something happened. I'm going to lose my job. See, that circumstance or just that someone's watching. We all have seen this person that we're just watching. You know, it's like you see this is the great one. I love this. King Super's parking lot. Couple get out of their car. Split, you beat the bird of the river. Oh, hi, Pastor. God bless you. Having a good day. You too. And it's like, see you at church. Yeah, when? I get this a lot, people that we haven't seen in a long time. How are you guys doing? Good, good. Going to church, doing all that good stuff. Really? Why is that? You think that matters to me? God knows. I'm not your mom. But see, most don't want to pick it up daily. I mean, answer me a question. Which of you would go to church every day? I mean, you know, look, it's like, Twice a week? Three times a week? Come on, that's a lot. That's more than most people, right? So I'm going to pick up my cross mostly instead of daily. Because why? Most people would rather not pick it up. This is the whole point. Most people, because I've got enough to carry. I have kids. I have a job. I have my parents to take care of. I have this. I have that. Do you not understand? Now you want me to pick up my cross too.
Or, just like they said over here, it's hard. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. It's exactly right. It's very heavy. Or it's very scary. So I'll pick it up occasionally. I'll pick it up when it's appropriate and I think people need to see me carrying it. Or I'll pick it up when I feel like I need to cling to it because I'm in trouble. But it's. I just rather lay it down right now. It's too heavy to carry my cross today. It's too scary.
Or have somebody else carry it. Let's have someone else carry it. Well, the reason that I can't do that, I can't really take my cross up, it's because of her. Actually, see, I would be carrying it, but she's got, as soon as she changes this, then I would be obedient and carry my cross. Because if she was not doing what she's doing, then I would be able to carry my cross. But what I'm really looking for, and what you really say is, very simply, it's not my fault. By the way, when you stand before the throne of God, that white throne of judgment, saying this, it wasn't my fault, is not going to be an answer. By the way, when you say, when I say, it was Jeff. The reason that was totally Jeff, was it was not me, it was definitely Jeff. See, there's only truth there. There's only going to be simply this question. Did you do what I asked you to do? My personal belief, you're not even going to be able to say, but there's going to be a yes or a no. It's very clear. And by the way, it won't be like you're going to lie to him anyway. Just saying.
And yet sometimes that's what we do. We want other people to carry our cross for us. Well, but it's your responsibility to carry it for me. I didn't do this. You need to carry this. I didn't sign up for this. You need to carry this. Well, if this person would do this better, or that person would do that better, it would be easier for me to carry my cross every day. And we make it everybody else's fault. Our husbands, our wives, our family, our friends, our pastors, our leaders, our employers, whatever it is, as to why we can't just do what he says right here, which is deny ourselves, take up their cross, and follow after me. The other thing we do is we don't like our cross, so I want to carry somebody else's instead. Rebecca's cross looks so much better than my cross. I want to carry Beck's. I'm going to get somebody else to carry mine, and let's do, you know, it's like an NFL trade. Can we just do a little trade? I'll carry Crystal's cross, and Crystal can take mine up. Do you want to do that? And this is what we want to do. I don't want to carry my cross daily. I'm going to go find somebody else's because it looks better than my own. Might be less. Your cross
looks
easier.
Well, here's the thing that you have to understand about your cross. Is it was designed specifically for you.
That's right.
You have a specific dispensation to be able to carry it.
Amen.
No matter how hard it feels. But if you try to take someone else's, you absolutely will fail.
That's right.
And it will distract you from what you're doing. So look, Jesus, when he was on his way to the cross and when he was carrying the cross, he was never pathetic. I mean, here I can see Jesus along the Via Dolorosa. Oy vey, what a heavy cross this is. I'm hardly able to carry this. Right? I mean, how many Christians do you know that carry their cross like that? Oh, my Lord. And what happens is when you get that pathetic, then eventually you get to be rebellious. And you'll just go, why am I carrying this stupid thing anyway? I am done. I am absolutely done carrying this silly thing. It's just too much. But here's why Jesus wasn't pathetic or rebellious. He believed in the cross that he carried. He believed he had a vision and an understanding for it. He believed in the one who asked him for it, to carry it. When his father said, this is what needs to happen? Yes, Father. Even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he said three times, if this cup can pass away from me, not my will, Father, but thy will be done. Why? Because he knew that if this was the Father's will, then it was going to be the perfect accomplishment. And he loved the cross more than he loved himself. I mean, this is, when you look at great men and women of God who have done spectacular things, they loved something else more than themselves. Sure. They loved a cause, a purpose, a calling, the cross more than themselves. Otherwise, how could they do these things? They give up homes and families.
The disciples that followed Jesus did that. They gave up families. They gave up homes. They gave up everything. They gave up their trades, their skills. They gave up everything to follow after him. Why? They believed in him. You will never pick up a cross daily that you don't believe in. You just won't. You may be able to pick it up once in a while. You may be able to pick it up on special occasions. You may be able to pick it up when the right people are watching. But you will never be able to daily pick up the cross of Christ if you do not believe in it. You won't. So I want to challenge you with that thought today. Do you believe in the cross that you're carrying? You also will not carry a cross every day if you do not love and trust in the one who gave it to you to carry. If I don't really, really love Jesus, and if I'm not really certain that he's got a clue what's going on, and I trust him, and that if he made special dispensation, as Jerry just said, for me to carry this cross, and it's mine, everybody else has got their own, and this is Matt's, that I can, then I really trust, Lord. I really trust and I really love, and therefore I can carry this every day. And you absolutely will never carry a cross if you love yourself more than it. Because there will come a time when you're not going to want to carry that cross anymore. And you better love it more than you love yourself. The only reason Jesus carried the cross, as he did, was because he believed in it, he trusted his Father, and he loved the cross and his Father more than himself.
See, here's what causes people to not daily pick up their cross. Self-centeredness. Belly buttonitis. And when you're focused on your own belly button, look, we take this cross, and some of us, we do the cross like this. Yeah, I go to church occasionally. Yeah. Do you believe in Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. But you wouldn't know it. These are what I call guerrilla Christians. The only way you actually know that they are Christians is not because the way they act or the way they speak or anything, but you find out accidentally. Oh, you go to church?
Uh-huh.
Don't tell anyone. Right? Or the cavalier. Hey, it's just cross. You know, it's kind of cool. It's kind of good. I just hang around, you know. Big, like Bethy says, the big flashy cross. Yeah, that's cool. But they, with no understanding for what it actually means. Or you guys have all seen this one. Yes, I am a Christian, burdened by all of my struggles. And it's like the heaviest, most pathetic thing that you have ever seen. And you're like, really? Instead of just saying, like that song that we just sang, the cross before me, the world behind me, look, I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not shoving it in your face. It just is who I am. You know, it's one of those things that people accused me of for years. All you ever talk about is this Jesus. All you ever talk about is church stuff and God stuff. That's who I am. I'm sorry. You know, if I was Armenian, I guess I would talk about things from Armenia. I don't know. This is who I am. This is my nature. This is my country. And what happens is when we get that self-centeredness, then my daily life choices are centered around what I think, what I feel, what I want, what I need, what I perceive. My thoughts and daily choices are all centered around me. See, if I don't wake up in the morning and go, Lord, what do you have for me today? I wake up in the morning and go, what do I want? The old Chinese proverb is, be very cautious what you ask for, because you may just receive it. And quite often, the very things you're asking for would destroy you. People are like, I want to win the lottery. You would be dead. I'm just going to say, you know what? You've got to ask yourself, if I'm God, we're all in trouble. So there must be a God, right? And then we have to think what he thinks, no longer just through what I want.
So what causes self-centeredness is simply two things. And every one of us gets caught in self-centeredness. At some point or another, every one of us has carried our cross in a lesser way than it deserves to be carried. We've carried it with pity, or we have tried to hide it, or we've been too cavalier than we should be, and we have not just held it in front of us and said, the cross before me, the world behind me. I'm following after the way of the cross. But what keeps us from that is self-centeredness, and what makes us self-centered is two things. Here's the first one. The first one is a lack of belief. Simply a lack of belief. Check yourself today. Check your belief system. Here's where we get caught. We get caught believing that there's anything more important than the daily life that I'm in. I don't believe that there's anything more important happening today than the life that I'm caught in right now. The cross is not more important. The cross that I'm supposed to carry is not more important. Again, you are never going to live or die for something unless you believe it's bigger than you. Unless you believe it's more important than you. Unless you believe it's bigger and more important than the world that you have going on in that daily life thing. All of the pressures coming, all of the voices calling you to do this and do that. What do you believe about the cross that you're supposed to pick up today and carry? What do you really believe? Is it more important? Is it more valuable? Because you will not live or die for it if it's not bigger than you. Jesus said himself, I did not come to save myself. See, we want to preserve ourselves. We get caught in that. I want to take care of me and take care of my life and all these sorts of things. Jesus said, I didn't come to save myself. I came to expend myself for the one who sent me. I didn't come to serve myself. We want to serve our needs and our wants and our desires and our fears and everything else on the planet. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. To give my life away. Turn with me real quick to Philippians in your Bible. Our flesh nature is all about us. But at some level, you've got to believe there's something more going on. I'll just read it up here. In the world than you. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, can you say yes to that? Can anybody say, okay. If you have any comfort from his love, anybody got comfort from his love? Okay. If you have any fellowship with the Spirit, anybody feel fellowship? Yeah, me too. If any tenderness and compassion, yep, I got that too, then make my joy complete. How many of you would like the Lord to look at you and say, you know what? Crystal, you make my joy complete by doing this. Leona, you make my joy. Wouldn't it be great to have Jesus stand there and look at you and go, you make my joy complete. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.
See, you have to believe in something greater than yourself. I love the story of the packed church, and everybody's there all Sunday morning, dudded out, and a gunman runs in and says, "Anyone who's willing to die for Jesus, stay. Everybody else, leave." Three little old ladies in the front and the pastor. Guy walks up to the front pew, pulls his mask off, sits down, goes, "You can start preaching now, Pastor." Because everybody else didn't have a real belief or a real conviction. I mean, the honest truth is, he died for us. How much less could we do for him?
Amen.
And that's not a guilt thing. That's a devotion thing. I mean, the other thing that Bethy was talking about that causes us to become self-centered is a lack of faith. We get this thought that God somehow started the world spinning and then stepped back. Okay, I'm just going to kind of let it take care of itself. And I don't really think that God is very concerned about my daily stuff, which is why I have to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand that there is a God. I just don't think that God thinks about me every day. Everybody's like, "Oh, no, that's not me." But the truth is, we all get caught in this. This is not a condemnation. This is a, "Hey, whoo." You know, you look, somebody goes, "Hey, what happened to your hair?" "What are you talking about? It feels fine." And then you go look in the mirror. "Oh, wow. What happened to my hair?" See, that's what this is. That's just like a, "Oh, right. Yeah, okay." I don't believe God is daily focused on me. There's 7 billion people. Is he really watching out for me every day? Does he really see what I need, what I am desiring for? I don't believe that he's daily with me and helping me carry my cross. So what happens is, I have to do it. How many times have you found yourself going, "God, help me, God, help me, God, help me." Ugh, fine. It's the 11th hour. I'm going to have to take care of this myself. And I heard this said one time. This guy said, "Everyone thinks God is an 11th hour God. But it's not true. He's simply on time. Exactly when he needs to be. You're the one that gets caught up worried. You're the one that says, 'Lord, don't you know in 10 hours I have to have that done?' And he's like, 'Yep, sure do.' Exactly when it needs to happen. Because most people believe that God is bigger than themselves, but not in the day-to-day."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God is concerned about us as a general overall people, but he's not really focused on me. He doesn't, I mean, you know, my rent goes unpaid, my car breaks down, my job ends, my kids get out of line. He's not like he's really, you know, taking care of me. This is where people get their thought. Becomes that very simple lack of faith that there is a God. Most people believe that God cares for them, just not cares. You know, I mean, God like loves me, but it's not like he really cares about what's going on with me. Am I right? See, not in the day to day. I mean, you know, God doesn't really care that I just stubbed my toe. Do you think God cares if you stub your toe?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Of course he does. Do you think that God cares when you're scared?
Yep.
When you have doubt? When you're lonely? When you're happy?
Yep.
Every minute of every day, most people believe that God is there for them, just not daily there for them. You know, God steps in when the big stuff happens. But that little stuff, I'll take care of it. Which is absolutely the opposite. Do you know what? God says, "I want to be there every single minute of every single day for you. Dwell with me. Dwell with me."
But again, these are the things that make us self-centered. is that lack of faith, that he really is daily there with me, that lack of belief. The disciples got caught in this. Look at this story. Jesus, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 23.
8:23.
I'm sorry. Matthew 8:23-26. The disciples knew that Jesus was with them, but they didn't trust his intentions in the moment. How many times has this happened to you or I? I know you're with me, but I'm just not really trusting you here in the moment we're in. So he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up from the lake, so the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Now, was Jesus with them? He was with them. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" He got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Now, how many times do we do this? He's right there with us, and we know he's right there with us. Then all of a sudden, we're afraid, and we lose faith in what? In ourselves? No. In him and the circumstances that we are currently in. Or Jesus then challenges them. If you go back a little bit to 6, you see where he challenges the disciples and the people who are listening.
In 6:24-34.
He's challenging them to where their devotion and focus daily was. Again, about what do you believe in? What do you really believe in is important every day? This is what he's challenging them here. Beginning in verse 24. "No one can serve two masters." Let me just tell you, this is more than a money scripture. Because you cannot serve God as God and you as God at the same time. And sometimes we make ourselves our own God. That's what self-centeredness
does. And if you're God, we're in trouble.
"So no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And by the way, you cannot serve both yourself and God. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" What he's saying here is, what do you believe? What do you believe is really important? "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Again, what do you believe? "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." In other words, trust me. Believe in me. Have faith in me. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen. He's challenging him. And we want to challenge you today. My first question to you is, do you believe in the cross that you're carrying? Not the corporate cross of Christ, but right here, right where Jerry started. "If anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up their cross, follow me." Your cross, the cross that is for you to carry every day, do you believe in it? Really, deep on the inside of you, would you die for it? Will you deny yourself for it? Do you trust in the one who asked you to daily carry it? Do you trust that he's got a plan for you, provision for you, he's watching out for you as you pick that thing up every day and are following after him? Do you trust him really? And finally, do you carry it with privilege or pity? I'm going to say that again. Your cross, the one made for you that you're supposed to pick up every day, are you carrying it with privilege or are you carrying it with pity?
Which again, it's not about condemnation. It's simply an awareness. Sometimes we get caught carrying that.
Yep.
Fine. It's just my lot in life to have to do this. Can't tell you how many people say that without the understanding of what you're really saying. Woe is me. Woe is me, my burden so great. So sorrowful am I, O Lord, thou vexeth me. That's the epitome of self-centeredness. It's the actual high point, because that self-centeredness will make you pathetic, and it'll make you ultimately rebellious, because you can only stay pathetic for so long, and then you're going to go, stuff this.
Yep.
I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm going to do something. In which case, you usually go, we just heard someone that we know very well who's like, I'm sick and tired of doing this whole thing, and I guess I'm not going to get what I want, so I'm just going to go, I'm going to go back to the world. Ouch. See, but that's that. Like, look at Judas and Jonah. Both of these guys got rebellious and got pathetic. Judas, like, I thought we were going to make a little money. You said you're going to be a king. I was hoping for a few bucks. Had a good position. Nice job. Nice house. Come on. And now what, you're saying you're going to die? Oh. He was about himself because he forgot that God was there for him every day. And Jonah? Jonah was just like, you're going to do what you're going to do anyway. You're going to forgive him anyway. I don't know why I have to go do that.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Why don't you just tell him yourself? Well, God could. Why did he leave you here once you were saved? Because he chooses you to be his voice, his hands. They will know you are my disciples by your love for one another.
Amen.
He didn't say, they will know you are my disciples because I pluck you back out of the earth, poof, the minute you get saved. It was never his intention. So when you're daily conscious of the cost of carrying your cross, when you are daily conscious of that cost, you are self-centered. I mean, you are on your way to pathetic, because how many of us end up in this place of, oh, here I am again, carrying this same burden, this same cross, this same sin, this same, here I am again. Really? How do you think Jesus felt when he was the only one who didn't need the cross? When he was carrying a cross for you and for me.
He was so selfless that he made it appear to be effortless to carry that cross for us. When you read about him, didn't he just, I mean, it was his joy to do this. It was his privilege to do this. It was his honor to do this. It's not that it was always easy, but there was a countenance that he carried as he carried that cross for us, that he would have done it for just one of us. It was my joy. I have no greater joy, he said, than to complete the work that my Father gave me to do. This is why I came. Even standing before the kings and the people that were going to kill him and that had stripped him and beaten him and mocked him, he stood there still with great joy. This is my privilege. This is my honor to carry this. Why? Because he was selfless. And that's where we have to try to get to every day and get ourselves back to every day, because we live in such a self-centered society, in such a self-centered nation, in such a self-centered world. Go to the book section of a bookstore and see how much of it is all about self. Instead of becoming selfless, how do you get rid of self? You got to learn how to deny yourself.
See, how you become selfless? What he said, you must deny yourself. You must deny yourself. Now, what does that mean? It means that you have to put him first. Mm-hmm. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. People don't understand that. Well, what that means is not, okay, I'm just going to sit here, God, and I'm going to think about your kingdom, and you're going to feed me and clothe me and take care of my family. And no, you're going to end up dying, because he said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. He said, you must deny yourself and daily pick up your cross. In your everyday life, he's talking about that. Mm-hmm. In the things that you do, first and foremost, yes, I have a job. Okay, I'm going to go to my job. But first and foremost, I remember who gave me this job. And I remember who gave me favor in this job. And I remember what the purpose of this job is about, is to provide me blessing from above and the ability to be a blessing. See, that's how we deny ourselves, by looking to him, remembering him, not, I need to get a better job. Okay, get a better job, that's fine. But remember, where you are is because of choices you've made. And if where you are is not where you want to be, then stop and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Do you realize that God could provide for you manna? He still has the recipe. He could provide daily food and water out of a rock for you if that were a necessity. He's provided us with so many things. We must keep him first.
So to become selfless, you do. You have to live for a bigger picture than you. Which means when you get caught in you focus, but I think, but I feel, but I believe, but I want, but I need. When you get caught in that, you've got to go, wait, I need a better God than myself. I need a bigger picture to live for than me. Because I'm going to get way upside down in my attitude if I just keep focusing on me and me and me and me and me and me. I got to live for someone else's purpose. I got to live for someone else's glory, not my own. He said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. In other words, I'm not living for my glory. I'm not living so the people can become a disciple of me. I'm living for your glory. I'm living for your reputation. I'm making choices for you because you're bigger than me.
You will never, never love the cross and love others until what you do is you actually have the same focus that he did. Again, he was the only one in human history who did not need to die for his sins. He was sinless. And yet, because he loved you and me and all of us so much, he took that cross upon himself so that you and I could have freedom. Now, until we get that mindset that you're willing to lay down your comfort, you're willing to lay down your momentary happiness, you're willing to lay down those things and say, God, there is something greater than me just being able to kick my feet up. There's something greater than me just being comfortable in my lazy boy. There is something greater that I am living for other than just trying to survive.
Self-centeredness, if you've ever gotten caught in that place where you're stuck in self-centeredness, or maybe you are today, self-centeredness always reveals a lack of faith in my life, a lack of belief in my life, belief in something bigger than me, faith in the one that I know is bigger than me, or it reveals a lack of love in my life, a love for something more than me, what I need, what I want. Yesterday we were at a conference, and I want you to just kind of check yourself in this moment, just you alone. So this guy stands up there, and he tells his story, and he's telling about his life, and he says something so profound, so profound. And he says, when you tell yourself your story, not when you tell other people, when you tell yourself your own story, because everybody's got a story and everybody's got a journey, and nobody can walk it for anybody else, it's yours and yours alone. So when you're right here telling yourself your own story, how do you sound? Because as long as there is any level of pity in it, you will never find forgiveness. And the truth is, when you tell yourself your story up here, if you've got pity in it, then you got to really check yourself. Because then eventually that's where you're carrying this cross, but you're carrying it with pity. You're carrying it with and the forgiveness that you want from your past, whatever it is for your journey to have purpose. It's all not going to happen as long as when you tell yourself your own story. He said, as long as why you telling yourself your story, you got pity going on. Well, it's this person's fault. Well, this wouldn't have happened to me if that hadn't happened. Well, I wouldn't be here if this wasn't here.
The reason.
Then the purpose will be stolen from your journey, and you will be pathetic in carrying the cross that was laid before you to carry. So I want you to really check yourself today. Lately, how's that story sounding in your head?
And we were talking with Andy about this the other day. Here's one of those statements. How are you doing? Better. You know what better is? Poop. Really? Better? You're doing better? Yeah, yesterday I only smoked 4 grams. Today, you know, I'll do better. Really? I only punched my neighbor 3 times. That's better than yesterday. I hit him 12. See, this better is just a lie. So be real with yourself. When you tell yourself your story, what is your story? What does it sound like to you? Do you find yourself a little like, you? That's kind of gross. I sound kind of whiny. Then just stop and ask yourself. And then in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, therefore, here's what beseech means. I am begging you. I am begging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I love that. Not your really hard service. That's just reasonable. That's like your boss says, if you just do this, I won't fire you. This is your reasonable. Just show up on time. Don't call in sick. Stay the whole day. Don't fall asleep. Don't take nap. That's your reasonable service. This is what God is saying. Therefore, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. Now, here's where it gets challenging. And do not be conformed to this world. When you walk out into the world, do you look like the world? Do you talk like the world? Do you look any different? If people can't tell that you're different, there's some issues. I just want to say, if you are a chameleon and you have blended into the world, he said, do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, When Randy and Andy very first went down to the Triangle in downtown Denver, you know what? They didn't put big crosses on and say, Jericho Ministries International leaders and God-fearing men, super God-fearing churchmen. And they didn't wave their Bibles around and grab a soapbox and stand on it and begin to tell people. You know what? They walked down there and they prayed. And somebody went, you know him, right? You're one of them. Yeah. See, we should, when we have taken up our cross daily, we should look different. I'm going to tell you what. Here's a little test for you. If you went back to your high school, would they see a difference? Not just in the way you look, because you ain't got hair, you got too much hair, you got, you know. But I mean a difference. Would they go, really? You haven't changed. I think that's the absolute worst thing anybody could ever say to me. You haven't changed a bit. Crap. I have failed. That is an epic failure right there. Oh, look, I have changed. I just want to say, I have changed. I actually, this summer, I ran into a few of my high school friends. You are different. Thank you. That's a little affirmation. Absolutely. Thankfully to him.
The cross, above everything else in my life, I'll just speak for myself. There's nothing in my life that's changed me more than the cross. Nothing. If we put up daily our cross, it's supposed to set us apart from the world. It's what makes us look different, is the cross that you carry every day. So don't be begrudging with it. Stand up tall beneath it. And if it gets a little heavy, that's what Jesus is there for. So Lord, I know you're right here with me. And today this cross is feeling a little heavy. Come shoulder it with me, will you please? Because you know what? I don't care if I have to crawl. I'm going to carry this for you as tall as I can till the day I die. Because nothing in my life is so important, is so glorious, is so honorable as carrying this cross every day for you.
Lord Jesus, Father, we desire to be your disciples, followers of the Lord, followers of the King of Kings. We desire, Lord God, to emulate, to mimic, Lord God, your life, to be one with you. And so, Father, we cry out for help, that we would daily, Lord God, not just when we're at church, not when we're just around Christians, not just when we absolutely need it, but every day, every minute of every day, Lord, that we would look to you as the author and finisher of our faith. So, Lord, keep us ever mindful that you are with us. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Father, in that we take comfort. Help us to believe in what you have called us to do. Lord Jesus, each and every one of us has a calling, a very simple calling, that we would love one another as you loved us. By this they will know that we are your disciples. Father, help us to bear our cross with joy and thanksgiving. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.